Hi folks, it's Tuesday and this is Talking Honor. My name is Harley R. Padgett and I cover Ring of Honor for the Pro Wrestling Torch. Written reports on Honor Club live events, weekly television, and the big old pay-per-views like Final Battle 2018 happening live this Friday. I'll be doing live coverage of it as it happens, so look forward to that. In the meantime, every Tuesday I'm right here with Emily Fear.
That's right, that's me.
It's a her.
It's a me, Emily Fear. Yep, I also co-host this and I co-host Elite Repeat and write here and there about wrestling in various places and also appear on randomly on other podcasts to talk about wrestling in not such an official capacity. But
and you have a new intergender site.
Yes, I do. I'm actually really behind on it right now, so I'm like feeling kind of bad about promoting it. But I have a couple of articles up there. It's called Boy Girl Party, and you can find it on my Twitter account, which we'll talk about later. But yeah, so you can read it all about intergender wrestling, and I'm currently working on a big intergender wrestling project that is not ROH attached at all. One day, Harley, I want to feature ROH in my blog.
Yeah, beyond like Cheeseburger and Sumi Sakai dressing like each other.
Well, yeah, I mean, which is adorable, but like, yeah, exactly. I would love to feature an intergender match that came from ROH. I never imagined seeing it happen, at least not in the vicinity, not in like the near future, but one day maybe.
Perhaps.
Yes.
One thing that ROH has been doing lately is episodes of The Pinnacle, their new YouTube series produced by Dave Lagana and Billy Corgan of the NWA. Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins.
That's right.
They did the premiere episode a couple weeks ago, and since our last episode, they've done two new ones. Episode two was kind of about the lineage of Final Battle as a pay-per-view, and looking at people like Jay Lethal and the Briscoes. Briscoes and Christopher Daniels have been around since the very first ROH event in 2002. And then the third episode uploaded today was all about the Bully Ray Flip Gordon I Quit match at Final Battle. Did you get a chance to watch that video?
I have not gotten a chance to watch the latest one. No, I've gotten to watch the first and second ones, and I'm really pleased by these. I really enjoyed the one about Final Battle, especially for someone like myself who is still kind of catching up on a lot of the, you know, history, whether, you know, far-flung or recent with ROH. It's been super useful to me. So, like, honestly, for those who are newish fans, like, if you've gotten into ROH in the last year, make the Pinnacle part of your watching, because it's super helpful, gives you a lot of good context, and it's just really entertaining.
Yes. However.
However.
As with any video, as with any form of art, sometimes errors occur. Watching the second video, maybe, like me, like Emily, you'll have noticed they used a quote on screen, full text, quoted on screen, and Colt Cabana doing the voiceover narration read it aloud, with is it a typo? Is it a grammatical mistake? What would you consider this? You're the librarian.
That's a really interesting question. It is both, I think, because it appears in a typo, right? And then it is also, it's based on a grammatical error in speech.
Yeah, it's one of those it's your situations.
Yeah. So it's what's really funny about this is that somebody misspeaking or, you know, just like I am positive you and I have used poor grammar in our episodes. I'm positive, you know, when you are speaking casually, you tend to be laxer
perish
about
the
these type of things. Perish of thought. But it's true. When you're speaking casually, you have fillers like or you will speak casually to the point where you're not adhering to rules of grammar or using words maybe in the exact way they need to be used. But this takes that kind of misspeaking, records it in an official video, and then uses that grammatical error in speech and turns it into a grammatical error as a typo.
Yeah, and I saw it in the video and I was like, ooh, that's embarrassing. And I moved on. Whatever. I wasn't going to bring it up on the show. But we got listener mail. We had a listener of ours named Gray Gunter write in specifically about this. So we feel the need. We have to address it. We don't get much mail around here. We have to give this its own due.
Yeah, and we would anyway, because this is great.
So, Gray writes in, he says, Episode 2 of ROH's YouTube series The Pinnacle has a quotation error I found interesting. Harley and Emily seem like the only other humans who might share my interest. That's true. At the beginning of Episode 2, we see the quote on screen as Colt Cabana's voiceover reads, It's better to burn out than to fade away. A small but significant difference from the famous line, it's better to burn out than fade away. The switch of an A to an E completely changes the meaning. The quote is from the Neil Young song, Hey Hey My My, Into the Black, and he's attributed in the on-screen graphic. It was made even more famous when Kurt Cobain quoted it in his suicide letter. Two things I'm curious enough to email a podcast about a typo in a YouTube wrestling hype video are, one, do you think Colt Cabana, who refers to his quirks of pronunciation and getting turns of phrases wrong as Cabana-isms, did the voiceover incorrectly and decided to make graphics match what he said rather than the original quote because they didn't realize someone out there like me has this kind of time on his hands? Two, William Patrick Corgan, aka Billy Corgan of Smashing Pumpkins, is credited as the executive producer of The Pinnacle. He either didn't watch the episode or didn't see the final version before it was uploaded. I say this because Billy Corgan knows Neil Young and Kurt Cobain. If he had seen this quote, I'm certain he'd have caught the mistake. I've imagined the scene as a small play below. Billy, hey, that first quote on the video, you got that wrong. It's than, not then. Editor, are you sure? Billy, yes, I know the guy who wrote the song you're quoting. Editor, oh, it's a song? I only know it because that guy said it in his suicide note. Billy, yes, I knew that guy too. End. Thank you for indulging my special interest of the week. Love the show. Emily?
I adore... I adore this. Gray, Gunter, this has made my day. I am so pleased. I'm so pleased for a number of reasons. One, I am pleased that you you saw this typo slash heard this error and thought of us as trusted vehicles for your concern about this and knew that you could trust us with this and take it seriously. Because you are absolutely correct. That would have driven me crazy if I had seen it. I know that it
I was
probably,
an English major, you're a librarian.
Yes.
We are the target demographic.
Yes. And I also love, I think this is my reaction when you shared this with me originally, Harley. It's like, I love this because I also feel this email so hard in both its issue with the grammar and also just like kind of the like flight of fantasy that goes along with it, where you're imagining the scenario where like Billy Corgan is like talking about, is able to use this as a jumping off point for talking about the like famous people he knows. I adore this. This was great. And I'm so with you, Gray. Like, I don't understand why, like, I understand why it wouldn't be corrected in the audio because, you know, Colt Cabana has a regional dialect. Lots of people have like, you know, slight twinges or twangs to their voices. And these things come out in speech patterns in different ways. And it's hard to edit that out. And it's almost like, why would you? But to have that in the typo is just so bothersome.
Yes. To address Gray's questions, Colt seems like a professional. I would find it hard to believe that if he misread the quote, it's better to burn out than to fade away on a piece of paper. If he misread it and recorded it as then, they would have asked him to redo it. He wouldn't have been like, yeah, no, that's the line, and just sent it in. It has to have been provided to him in the script incorrectly.
Yeah.
How it gets past like the producers and the person who like everybody else in the video, I don't understand.
I'm just wondering how small the production team is on this, that like it didn't get noticed. It's such a small thing, I understand, but it is noticeable, especially if you're familiar with the quote and the source of it. It's It's weird. But you know what? These things happen and it's amazing the oversight that happens with them. I brought this up to you, Harley, whenever we were talking about this originally. When both Joey Ryan and Joey Janela got injured at the same time, they made a shirt that said Broken Joeys with a cute like little illustration of both the Joeys in hospital beds. Very adorable. Except when they unveiled the design, it said the Broken Joeys. Joey's was spelled J-O-E-Y apostrophe S. This was a design that they had unveiled for official sale, that they were putting on pro wrestling tees, that they were putting out there to sell, an official design that they had put out there, not just like a draft or a markup, like a mock-up, an actual like drafted, like an actual design to buy. And that is a huge typo. Cause you're literally like you're putting a possessive where it doesn't, like, you don't need an apostrophe at all.
Yeah. Broken Joey's what? Broken Joey's hospital bed? Broken Joey's t-shirt?
Yeah. Broken Joey's house of Broken Joey's? Like, and you didn't need the apostrophe at all. So it's one of those things where, like, you don't even know where that came from. Whereas the then typo grammatical error, like, I understand mishearing it or miswriting it, but like someone should have caught it. Come on, guys. Yeah.
The context of the original Neil Young lyric is that burning out is preferential than fading away. But by changing it, you're saying the preferential option is burning out followed by fading away. Which, yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It's better to burn out than fade away.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I...
Yeah, it's better if you burn out and then you can fade away. Later on.
That really changes.
It's the best of both worlds.
Gosh, I am definitely burning out and then fading away. That, unfortunately, it changes it from being something like beautiful and poetic to something that is just real. It's just like, because we all...
To be a burnout and be forgotten by society.
Which is exactly what happens to most of us.
Yeah, a lot of professional wrestlers. It's deep, really.
It is, but it's definitely not the like hopeful like thing. It's not the hopeful message you necessarily want to build an episode of The Pinnacle around.
Well, luckily I can confirm episode 3, no grammatical mistakes as far as I can tell.
Oh, good.
Somebody may have ended a sentence with a conjunction, but it happens. It's something of which we cannot avoid.
That, again, is natural speech patterns, and natural speaking is held to different standards.
Yes, and the third episode focuses heavily on Bully Ray, so you can't pick apart speech patterns with somebody from New York.
No, you most certainly cannot. You know, especially with Bully Ray. So don't try. Don't even bother. Why would you bother at that point?
All right, so that was half our show. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, spent a lot of time on that. But Greg Gunter, thank you so much. Then I literally lit up reading your email. It makes me so glad that you thought of us. Like, we were thought with this. This is what people associate with us and our pro wrestling takes. That makes me so happy. That's our brand. If our brand is the pro wrestling podcast that cares about grammatical errors, I'm totally fine with that.
All right. Well, we also got another email this week, not about grammar. This one is from our regular listener, Brendan Bradley. We posited last week, whom might you be interested in seeing ROH potentially sign next year, following on the heels of PCO and Brody King and Madison Rayne? Who else would you love to see in an ROH ring in 2019? And Brendan wrote in with some guys that he would like to see debut or return to ROH in 2019. Top of the list, top of everybody's list, Emily, is Pac.
Yes, most definitely. And I would not be surprised to see him make some North American appearances in 2019. But given his love and his attachment to Dragon Gate and just various other like Japanese and international work, I would not be holding my breath for him to sign any kind of new contracts. I think contract life for Pac is going to be a while.
Wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think I read that he's not exclusive to anybody.
Yeah.
He tweeted something to that effect. So it's not out of the realm of possibilities, but it seems unlikely at this juncture. He seems pretty happy not wrestling in America.
I think he seems really happy not wrestling for any one particular, like he's happy at Dragon Gate. I think that's as close as he gets to having a home right now. And I also just don't think he wants to be beholden to any contracts, because just consider how long he had to be stuck in one.
True. But he, you know, I'm obviously on board with, I'd love to see him in ROH.
Oh, 100%.
There's like so many people he'd be great against.
And I would love to see him at the Supercard in April. And a lot of people have like mused that that would be a really great way for him to make a North American appearance. So
and spite WWE at the same time.
Oh, my God. Exactly. So I'm about it and would love to see that. And hopefully we, you know, let what happens. So let's cross our fingers for that.
All right. Number two on Brendan's list. Other like top names in wrestling today, the Lucha Brothers, Pentagon, and Phoenix. Brendan says, I know it's unlikely, but after what happened on the Jericho Cruise with ROH versus Impact, I could see somewhat of a working relationship between the two. As far as I've, latest I've heard on Pentagon and Phoenix, they are with both Lucha Underground and Impact. Lucha Underground is all but confirmed for season 5. Most of the principal wrestlers in the organization are under the impression that season 5 will happen, which is why they're still with Lucha Underground and Impact, because were it not for Lucha Underground continuing and their Lucha Underground contracts, they'd be in NXT right now.
Oh, wow. Is that something you think
that's
strongly?
Scuttlebutt.
Or that's a scuttlebutt? Ugh.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I'm bummed out about it, too.
Whoa. Everyone will be in NXT. In 2019, we'll be in NXT.
It's happening. I'm just waiting for the big money offer, personally. I'll sell out. I have no issue.
I can't deal with Florida.
Oh, I can't deal with Ontario in winter.
I mean, Pittsburgh in winter is not particularly better, but Florida, man. Bugs, Republicans. I don't think so.
All right.
I'm just gonna have to
buy. What about number three on Brendan's list? Zack Sabre Jr.
Would be awesome, but won't happen. And like honestly,
not full time, not signing with ROH, but more appearances.
Possible. Well, with the partnership with New Japan, and as long as Zack Sabre Jr. continues work with New Japan in any capacity, it's totally reasonable, and would love to see him make more sporadic appearances. I have no strong desire for him to be in ROH more on a regular basis or even semi-frequent, because I'm holding out hope that they bring in Hot Sauce more.
All right. Well, yeah, Zach's facing Gresham on Friday at Final Battle.
Yep.
Tracy Williams at the TV tapings. And then after that, I mean, our New Japan guest stars vary. You know, some this year, I feel we saw Evil and Sonata a lot this year.
Yeah.
In ROH, like up into the double digits for sure. But then there's other people, you know, Kushida shows up like maybe once a year, once or twice a year, something like that. So Zach could fall into that sort of category.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that makes total sense for him to make a more occasional appearance. It just so happens that we have a guy right now like Jonathan Gresham, who's really hot. That, you know, they've done a really great push. He's getting, you know, bigger and bigger at ROH. He has a specialty in pure wrestling, and he has a connection with CSJ, and CSJ is connected to ROH through New Japan, and it works out so beautifully. You're not going to get as many good stories for ZSJ in ROH in that way. But I'd love to see what they could come up with in the future.
All right. Number four on Brendan's list is Hot Sauce, Tracy Williams.
100% agree with you. As much as I love him being on the indie scene and being in Beyond Wrestling and being here and there and being the Powerbomb TV champion, I think he's just so great. So he's got charisma. He's got a longtime career. He's trained other guys. He's brought up other guys with him. I'm glad that people were really positive on him in his appearance in Survival of the Fittest. I hope they feel the same way when they see him in the ROH episode that he'll be featured in. I think he would be great. And he's locality-wise, he's, you know, based in around that area. So, I mean, obviously ROH comes with a lot of travel commitments, but they could use him sporadically too, and it would not be a bad idea.
All right. I've still only seen him in Survival of the Fittest, so I don't have a strong opinion one way or another. But if you're that high on him, then I'll take that for what it's worth.
Oh, very much so. I got to send you some matches. I really do. There's a bunch. Beyond Wrestling is really good about putting so much of their content online on YouTube for free. So I will find matches that I can share with you that you can just watch right off of YouTube.
All right. Somebody I am familiar with is the next entrant on Brendan's list. The Darewolf, PJ Black, also competed in Survival of the Fittest this year. I'm well familiar with him from both Lucha Underground as well as his time in WWE as Justin Gabriel. And it's funny because when he was in Survival of the Fittest, if that was your first impression of him, I could see why you wouldn't be that high on him, because I thought he was a little bit slow and he seemed a little just off step a couple of times, surprisingly so to me. But the work that he's done in Lucha Underground the past couple of years is terrific, and he's totally in the ROH vein. He's right. He's the same, not the same style, but he's right in there with Chris Sabin and Flip Gordon and Gresham and guys like that.
Yeah, I mean, I liked what I saw at Survival of the Fittest. I've looked him up a little bit more since then. I've really enjoyed what I found. I think he makes a great addition, and I think his inclusion in the post Final Battle Fallout TV taping speaks to ROH's continued interest in him as well as in Tracy Williams.
Yeah, the fact that Black, Tracy Williams, and Luchasaurus are all returning so soon after appearing at Survivor of the Fittest is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it goes to show you that they're not ruling anyone out, and all three of these wrestlers got fairly positive, if not, you know, very positive reactions in their performances from their performances at Survival of the Fittest. So, yeah, I think ROH is paying attention to that and continuing to test the waters even more.
All right. And the last name on Brendan's list, he says maybe if everything works out, they can get Chris Jericho for the G1 Supercard.
Oh, yeah. So Jericho, okay. Actually, a lot of this I should hold off on because we're going to be talking a bit more. I'm going to be going into MSG a little bit when we talk about our final battle predictions. I will say this. Jericho has been very bold in his decisions about where to make appearances. He has been given rein to go to New Japan when he wants to. He had his cruise, etc. He has been on the record as saying that performing in the U.S., performing in North America, basically, is pretty much restricted for him to WWE out of both, like, you know, probably some form of contract, but also out of, you know, respect for those who have given him such a, you know, a thriving career. Whereas there has been some wiggle room on this a little bit. It was notably at All In, where they did his run in.
And he's been teasing stuff with Impact for
yes,
a while.
He has. I'm so curious, because I'm really curious about what could happen here at MSG in April. On the one hand, you have him making strides towards some independence. You have a lot of like gossip and rumors flying around about what he could and could not be involved with as far as other enterprises go. But you also have a promotion, a partnership of promotions taking on taking on Madison Square Garden during WrestleMania weekend, Madison Square Garden, to do something, to make an appearance, to have a match even at a show like this on that weekend in that venue, that is as close to a slap in the face of Vince McMahon as Jericho could get. And I don't imagine him doing that.
No, he still wants that Hall of Fame ring and the Raw guest spots every couple of years. And
unless he was really looking to make a statement, and that's not impossible given Jericho's brand of making statements, but yeah. I don't see it happening. But then again, I said the same thing with All In. I said the same, like, whoa, no, there's no way we'll see Chris Jericho at All In. But he didn't fight a match, which I think is the big important thing here. Like, him doing a run-in at a show is different than him, like, getting in the ring and being part of the promotion.
Yeah. What about him as a guest referee?
Has he ever been guest referee for something?
You don't have a career as long as him without having been guest referee half a dozen times.
That's a really fair
especially
point.
Especially in WWE of the 90s.
Oh boy, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, those are Brendan's picks for people he'd like to see in ROH.
Great picks.
In 2019. If you got any of your own, send them to talkinghonor@gmail.com and we'll continue to roll them out as we head towards the new year.
Yeah, send me some women of honor, guys. Like, not just dudes. Let's talk. Like, there's plenty of great female talent out there in the indies and beyond. Or even tell me who you're fed up with being misused in WWE and you want them out and you want them to come be freed and come to ROH.
Who should quit WWE?
Yeah.
That's our, get that trending.
Yeah, don't pick the ones who are, like, currently, like, main eventing or, like, getting tons of push because, you know, obviously they're not going anywhere. But look at that roster. That roster is filled. Just keep going down the cards and keep going down.
Bring back
down.
The Kings of Wrestling.
You will find lots of people who are not getting their fair shake.
Yeah. All right. Well, people who are the main eventers of this week's television. Your world champion, Jay Lethal. Number one contender, Cody. Former champion, Dalton Castle. Real world champion, Matt Taven. Is that what he called? What does he call it? He calls himself the real world champion, right?
He calls himself the real Ring of Honor champion.
Okay, I just like the real world champion because I'm picturing him being like on MTV's The Real World.
Yeah, I mean, he's the Miz of ROH, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm Matt Taven, and I'm the real world champion right here at MTV Studios. I always said he looked like Pauly Shore, and it just comes full circle now.
It really does. We're getting like heyday of 90s MTV Real World mixed with heyday of Pauly Shore 90s. I'm sure he made a fair amount of MTV appearances.
He can shave his head and start wearing black, but I'm still not going to give him the respect he deserves.
Aw.
And so main event was Lethal, Cody, and Dalton taking on the six-man tag team champions, the Kingdom. Although they weren't six-man champions at the time of the staging.
Nope, they were not. They won that the next night over.
All right, so they still don't have the titles on TV, but that's where they are if you're wondering whatever happened to the six-man titles.
Yeah.
Emily, I don't have a heck of a lot to say about this match. It served its purpose.
Yeah, it served its purpose. It was a fun one. It's a messy match in that, like, it's always going to be messy when you have a babyface team that, like, isn't entirely cooperating. So, of course, you get a lot of, like, Cody and Lethal dramatics. And then you get a lot of Dalton Castle just, like, fighting and fighting and fighting. He spends the majority for his side in ring. You know, both Lethal and Cody get their time in, but I feel like the focus with actual fighting is Castle, and it's because he's not directly a part of this problem between Cody and Lethal.
And it sells this story that he's been telling since he came back, which is that he's back, but he maybe shouldn't be. He's still taped up head to toe. He's still banged up and hurt. He took a concerto a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's in here for a 60-minute match being triple teamed because his partners can't pay attention.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that there was some interesting drama with the fact that he's wearing like a sweatshirt for most of the time. And I didn't make too much of it at first because, it's the cold season and he's marketing his holiday sweatshirt, and that's smart. But, the longer he wears it in the match, the more it draws attention to the idea that, like, is there something concealing? Is he just like covered head to toe in tape? Like, because even when he takes it off, he's still wearing a T-shirt. So it's like there's this kind of veiled notion that there's a lot of protection still happening with his body.
Searching for more great pro wrestling talk? Then join me, Jason Powell, host of the free weekly Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Each week, you'll hear the latest news and analysis from me and my team at ProWrestling.net, along with other pro wrestling media members. Plus, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast features long-form interviews with notable names in the pro wrestling industry. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, and all your favorite secondary apps, or visit us directly at pwboom.com. Once again, that's pwboom.com.
Well, and speaking of protection, him and Taven brawl off through the crowd.
Yep.
So they're not involved in the finish.
You can just see, if you know what you're looking for or who you're looking for, you can just see my partner like in the background as they're like running past.
Trying to get an autograph?
No, he was late. He was watching something else and he was late to the show. So he got in and just as that like runoff was happening.
Oh,
yeah. This was maybe the first episode in this like trifecta of Pittsburgh tapings where I could kind of see him. I still can't see me and Bridget in the crowd, but I can definitely hear us at one point, which I'll talk about when we get to that segment. But yeah, overall, kind of just your basic, it's the week before Final Battle. So this is kind of what they do.
Yeah, the two guys who aren't in a pay-per-view match, one of them took the pin. He's a tag team champion, but that's beside the point.
it was TK, right?
Yeah, TK took a Crossroads from Cody. So, yeah, it was fun. We got two of the big pay-per-view matches spotlighted on the final episode.
Yes.
That was the goal. And we had one other match this week. And it was Flip Gordon versus Silas Young. Again, Wrestling 101. Flip's facing Silas's partner at the pay-per-view. So he faces him in a singles match a week ahead of time.
Yeah.
And they could have kept it simple like that, but they chose to complicate things, and it made it weird.
Yeah. Like
they decide, Flip says, I want this to be an I Quit match. And Silas says, sure. And the rules of an I Quit match say that the only way you can win is by making your opponent say I quit. Or by the commentators going to commercial and moving on with the show.
Yeah, basically. Because that's the way that this match ends. Because it does not technically end because Flip gets put through a table. You could light Flip on fire. You could cut off his foot. You can do whatever you want. But until he says I quit, like that's the match goes on.
Yeah, the only time they've really bent the rules, I think, is I feel like I've seen an I Quit match where the person passed out and the referee kind of awarded it by referee stoppage, saying he can't say I quit now. He's unconscious. You win.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Yeah, I've seen that too, because that's the famous Bret Hart Austin match. That's what happens.
Yeah, Stone Cold passes out from the loss.
That's right. So like in that case, you're right. But it's not clear that that's the case with Flip. He's just like like any guy who's just been put through a table. He's incapacitated in the moment, but there's no like there's no official ruling on it, so there's no way for the audience even to know that like, oh yeah, okay, so they stopped it because of this.
So this is the idea that came to me while we were discussing this before going on the air. The match is still going.
Whoa.
Neither man said I quit. This match is still on. So I mean, without a referee around, I guess does it have to end? Are I Quit matches false count anywhere then?
Yeah, because in the Ric Flair Terry Funk one, like they have the mic out at all kinds of points. It doesn't matter where you fall because the whole point is saying I quit.
Okay, so this is the problem. Is like if Bully Ray said I quit to somebody this afternoon, he technically lost the match, but nobody was around to see it. If a tree falls in the forest, doesn't make a sound. But let's just say the match picks up at the pay-per-view on Friday night, I guess. So if Flip Gordon says I quit during that match, he loses both matches at the same time.
Oh. So he will, like, if he loses to one, he'll lose to the other.
Yes. But if Bully Ray comes out before the match and does a promo saying, Flip, I'm going to make you say I quit, Bully instantly loses this, or Silas loses this match, I mean.
Well, I mean, Silas would have to say it, right?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
If for some reason, anytime during the show, Silas Young says the phrase, I quit, he loses this TV match.
You remember last month when we faced off over a month ago? That match, done. Finally won it after a month and a half.
Yep. Winner, Flip Gordon in 6 days, 12 hours, 37 minutes, and 14 seconds.
Would that be the longest wrestling match ever?
Probably not. Knowing DDT, probably not.
Knowing pro wrestling, there's definitely a match that's been, like, it's still happening. There's currently the longest running match is happening somewhere.
Yeah, it was like a, I don't know, whatever. It's probably. All right, so that was that match. It was weird. Bully choked out Flip. Flip took a spear through the table, and the bad guys are mean. We want to see him get beat.
Yep. That
was kind of the takeaway from the third episode of The Pinnacle, too. It's interesting, spoilers, but it's all Bully Ray talking, with mixed in with footage from the past, but we don't hear anything from Flip Gordon.
Oh, that is interesting.
So I came away from it going, this is a good video. Bully Ray can be trusted on the mic. Bully Ray can sell a feud. No discounting him there. But it really sent home the message that this I Quit match on Friday between Bully and Flip, it's not about seeing Flip Gordon beat Bully Ray. It's about seeing Bully Ray get beat.
Hmm.
And it almost doesn't matter that's Flip Gordon in the match.
Hmm. Yeah. I wonder how they're going to overcome that feeling, though. Because I do think, and I have this in my notes with him and Silas, I do think that his, like, his angry, his desperate, this like look that they're getting out of him through this feud actually works for Flip. I do think that. I think it works for him. I think I like it way better than like plucky and purely heroic. I think Flip is a guy who, when he's in any way compromised, he is a significantly more compelling wrestler to watch. And whether that's being compromised by rage, by indignance, by his own like need to prove himself, I think he's a more interesting wrestler, a more interesting performer. So I wouldn't say that he is not part of this feud or that it doesn't really matter. Like he's not integral to this. I would like him to prove that in the match that he has with Bully at Final Battle.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. For once I'm rooting, I hate to say I'm rooting for Flip, but like for once I'm rooting for Flip to do well in a way that's not just winning a match. Like I'm interested in Flip's trajectory here, and I'm hoping that it's worth it.
All right.
You gotta stop saying.
Think about from the number one Flip Gordon fan.
You know what?
Emily Fear.
Lies, dirty liar.
The other segments we got on this week's show all were about STU. They've ever since getting a bigger spotlight on Being the Elite, they've gotten a bigger spotlight on ROH.
Yep, they got that bump.
Yep. So we had the tag team champions, Scorpio Sky and Frankie Kazarian, come out to the ring to do their shtick. Immediately jumped by the Briscoes. Thank you, Briscoes.
Yeah, you know what, Briscoes? Thanks to you, they cannot claim that Pittsburgh is the worst town that they've ever been in. They never finished the sentence.
Yeah, it's not on the list anymore.
That's right. We're not the worst town that they've ever been in. We were waiting to be insulted. We were waiting to be negged.
So the Briscoes jumped SCU, the Young Bucks hit the ring, the teams brawl, a ladder gets involved, there's the shenanigans where the Briscoes shove SCU into the box when the Bucks aren't looking, the Bucks think they've attacked them. Oh, so much calamity.
Shenanigans.
Tensions are just always high when you're getting close to the big pay-per-view, right? Maybe at a different time of the year, the Bucks would have just shrugged it off and taken them at their word. Maybe Jay Lethal and Cody wouldn't be bickering so much. They'd be like, all right, whatever. It's just the Kingdom. They're annoying. But everybody's just on edge.
Yeah.
That's all.
It's like tensions are high. we're all tired. You know, the Bucks are so tired from that big New Japan tour that it didn't do. Ooh, I'm sorry. But like, yeah, it's that classic situation that you have when you're like watching a sitcom or watching like any kind of TV show that there's some kind of major drama based around like a simple miscommunication. And you're just like, wait, take 2 seconds, explain, everything's fine. But if you did that in wrestling, you wouldn't have like 90% of the plots that you have. So,
yeah, everybody's just very on edge. I mean, Jay Lethal, the Briscoes, they know that Cody and the Bucks are leaving in like a week. And they just can't wait. They're like, oh, my God, in a week, I don't have to deal with these guys anymore. I can move on with my life. I can do other things. And they're just watching that clock.
Yep. And I mean, for the Bucks to kind of make this assumption that SCU is something that just attacks them, it kind of strains credibility, or it's kind of like is a huge suspension of disbelief. But I mean, they also are guys who want want to get their belts back. So
yeah, they were quick to super kick SCU. So maybe they just, it's one of these things where you assume somebody else will do this thing because you would.
Yeah. Yeah. It's entirely possible. We were slightly distracted in this scene in this segment because the Young Bucks came out in uncharacteristic to their ring attire. They were wearing just like very straightforward sweatpants. And for whatever reason, those of us in the, like, there was a significant portion of us in the crowd who were very taken with the Young Bucks sweatpants. And you can hear, maybe it was our like restlessness at this point in the evening because those TV tapings are long. Maybe it was our like restlessness with this segment because, you know, again, for all the reasons we mentioned, kind of strains our suspension of disbelief, but we just started chanting sweatpants. And yeah, that goes to show you how over this segment was with the crowd.
All right. And the Young Bucks, as soon as they got backstage, were like, we should sell sweatpants.
I think they do, or at least they did. They sold Bullet Club sweatpants.
But Tama Tonga gets all the royalties now.
Wherever they're getting those very nice, just like straight up gray, like joggers that they were wearing, we want to know. Inquiring minds want to know where the Young Bucks are getting their sweatpants.
Well, it's a little thing, but it sells the idea that they weren't planning on being out there.
Yeah.
They just saw this going down and were like, no, we want to be a part of this.
Ring attire is intentional, even like whether it's something you're wearing to wrestle in or something you're wearing just to deliver promo in. It's something I love about wrestling, in that costuming is super intentional, even when it seems lackadaisical, because, you know, of course, athletes, when they are not going to be coming out to like do an official match, are just in a t-shirt and sweatpants. But for the Bucks, it's like the most dressed down we ever really see them. So, you know, aside from like travel montages on Being Elite. So it does mean something. It does mean that. It's something you pay attention to. And it catches, like, it gives you the story just by visual cue.
And our final segment on this week's television was a terrific sit-down promo from Christopher Daniels. We had to get this at some point.
Yes.
To sell that this might be his last match, that he might be retiring. He doesn't want to retire. Marty Scurll's going to have to work for it if he wants to retain his world title shot on Friday. This is just great across all fronts. Like Bully Ray on the third episode of The Pinnacle, just watching this veteran do his thing.
Yeah. Man, Christopher Daniels can deliver a freaking promo. Like, what else is there to say? The guy is a legend. The guy is a ROH mainstay. That promo is every bit the, I want to say it's a celebration of his career in ROH, a celebration of his career in professional wrestling. I really don't want to think of it as a goodbye just yet, but it definitely does have the feeling of someone acknowledging their role in making history and being prepared to, you know, move on to whatever that next step is after you make that history.
Oh, what about the footage of young Chris Daniels wrestling in Windy City Pro Wrestling? I looked it up. He competed for them for a good, like, 7 or 8 years. But I'm guessing this is from, like, the very beginning, like, 93, 94.
Oh, my gosh. In, like, the colored spandex.
Full head of hair.
Full head of hair.
Looking like the 1-2-3 kid.
Ugh. Looks like, yeah, looks like Steve Gutenberg.
I suspect it was pre-Fallen Angel.
Yeah.
just a guess.
You know, just a wild guess. Yes, definitely pre-Fallen Angel. Man, it was great. It's so great to see that footage. When is that footage from? Do you know?
They didn't have a date, but okay. He competed for Windy City Pro Wrestling between like 93 and 98 or 99. So it could have been anywhere in there, but I'm guessing just from like the first 2 years.
I'm going to say, I would guess it's
like 1994,
probably from the earlier end of it. Although with pro wrestling, it's impossible to say because so much of pro wrestling is like 5 or 6 years behind the times. So like that singlet, that look could have been from 1998. Really, it's hard to say.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
And I like that they ROH went out of the way to get this footage from Windy City. You know, it's not a company that they own or work with or whatever. They went and they, like, presumably licensed the footage or the person lent them the footage to use. And that was the one thing that I forgot about the Ladder Wars segment. I came away from that thinking, where's the video package on this?
Yeah.
I almost, rather than this, the six guys in the ring bumping into each other, I would prefer, like, a long video package on Ladder War the match. Sell us on this match, right? This is like an epic thing. They only do it once every 2 years. There have been six in history featuring people like the Briscoes, Kevin Steen, El Generico, Adam Cole, the All Night Express. And some of these are like the most brutal, bloody matches in ROH history. Where's the video package on that?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Because this is footage they do own.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because it's not super accessible for, you know, beyond a couple of matches here and there. So, like, it's kind of curious why they didn't do that, because they're kind of acting like everybody understands, like, the enormity of having a ladder war, but without giving it its proper due.
Yeah, we've seen too many, like, Saturday morning cartoon ladder matches in WWE the past 10, 15 years where there's a ladder and they take some really soft bumps here and there and sort of thing. So you run the risk of casual ROH fans saying, oh, it's a ladder match, cool, and not realizing there's a difference between a ladder match and ladder war. That last ladder war, the most recent one from 2 years ago with the Motor City Machine Guns, The Addiction, and the Young Bucks, there's some stuff in that that's hard to watch.
But yeah, so yeah, not entirely sure why they wouldn't use that timing to sell that rather than try and, you know, build some kind of extra feud on top of feud.
But anyway, it doesn't matter because Final Battle is now a mere 3 days away.
That is true. Yeah. So
this Friday, New York City, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have 8 matches on the bill. Every title on the line except for the six-man titles. Even the fake title. That's on the line, too. So let's go through our predictions, as is tradition around these parts.
That is right. Okay.
The one match on the card. No stipulation, no gimmicks, nothing on the line. It's just a straight-up match between two guys who are good at what they do.
Yep.
The Octopus, Jonathan Gresham versus Zack Sabre Jr.
Very fitting that this is a match without any kind of like hullabaloo or extra things attached, like titles or everything, because the whole idea is like, who is the greatest pure wrestler? This is a pure wrestling match, pure of any like major gimmicks or shenanigans, just two guys who are really great at like breaking joints and arms and limbs. So what's your prediction?
So, oh, I have to go first.
Yeah, you go first. You go first.
All right. You know, there's a strong possibility that the New Japan guest star in his first ROH appearance picks up the win. That's not implausible. It makes sense. It could happen. Mm-hmm. But I want to believe Gresham deserves a big moment here. He's had a really good year. I wouldn't be surprised if he wins the Breakout Star of the Year award in the ROH Year End Awards. So I want to believe that he gets this big moment here, but he's not tapping out Zack Sabre. So I'm going with Gresham countering a submission attempt into some sort of pinfall attempt, like an inside cradle or a backslide, something like that. He catches Zack for the 1-2-3.
Yep, I have a very similar prediction. I think that this is going to be Gresham's big moment. I think Zack Sabre Jr. loses nothing in that. I think it's going to be one hell of a match. And I would not have been entirely convinced that Zack Sabre Jr. was going to lose this one. But the following night when they do the TV tapings, it's going to be him versus Hot Sauce. And I think that's going to be Zack Sabre Jr.'s win. So to me, it's like he's going to lose this one to Gresham. He'll get a win the next night for TV. So that kind of balances the scales a little bit. And for Gresham, I think you're right, too. It's not going to be a submission. There's no way that's going to happen. It will most likely be some form of like small package type roll up type thing.
Well, and then the caveat or the good thing about that is that means they can go back to this.
Exactly.
They could do an I Quit match next year.
They need to leave the door open for future matches between these two.
Yeah, similar to, we saw Lethal and Kushida have a couple of matches spaced out considerably, but a couple of different encounters as part of a sort of a rivalry.
Yeah, exactly. And with Gresham and Zack Sabre Jr., you open the door to having a match where the stipulation is you can only lose by submission. You can do an I Quit match. You can do, I mean, it would be fascinating to see what an Iron Man match would be like between these two guys. The sky's the limit. And because of how they work and the way that they work, we can keep seeing this build over however long we have these guys to be able to utilize.
Okay, match number two is an I Quit match. It is that monster, Bully Ray, taking on Emily Fear's favorite wrestler, Flip Gordon. Who wins this one, Emily?
He's not my favorite wrestler, but for God's sakes, let Flip win this match.
How? Bully's not allowed to use the kendo stick. Flip is.
Then he like chokes him out.
But Silas Young's not on the card.
Ooh, what if he like chokes him out with the kendo stick and that's how he gets him to say I quit?
So you don't think Silas gets involved at all?
I don't know. I think Silas gets involved, but he gets taken care of, maybe by somebody on the outside.
Yeah, that's similar to my prediction.
Okay.
I think Silas does get involved, and I think he gets taken out by the debuting PCO. I don't know a lot about PCO, but if he were to appear at the show, this seems like the match for him.
It seems like a weird thing. I won't say that I'm some kind of PCO expert. It does seem weird to me he would come out in like to do that. I don't know how, but again, like I'm not an expert in his appearances and they might try and build something entirely different with him in ROH. So it's hard to say. I believe he will be making an appearance at Final Battle. I have a hard time envisioning it being that particular one. I would think it might be some of the guys that have already played a part in this storyline.
Oh, so Cheeseburger and Cabana and make it a really feel good moment.
Cheeseburger's got his whole like squad now. Cole Cabana is owed something. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so all the baby, everybody who hates Bully Ray surrounds the ring so he can't escape.
Yeah.
And then Flip just wails on him with a stick until Bully finally says, I quit.
Yeah. I can see like Flip like choking him, like got him by the throat with a kendo stick. And that's when Bully says, I quit.
Okay. I like that.
That or we get Bully Ray goes unconscious and that's how we get the win because Bully Ray will never say I quit.
But we're paying to see Bully Ray say I quit. We want to see him crying like a little baby.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Please.
And that's the thing. And if it's the situation we envision with everybody else surrounding the ring, he can come back at the next tapings and cry foul like, yeah, I said I quit because you had 30 people surrounding me. You're a coward. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
He can make it himself the martyr.
Sure, absolutely. We absolutely have to see some kind of movement on this storyline now. They've done a decent job, like, being able to get a lot out of something that is, like, a fairly straightforward narrative, and it's time for that chapter to close so that we can, like, move on. Bully Ray may still be around. They may still want to do things with him, but we need to have the next wave of this story.
Yeah, I almost wouldn't mind him and Silas entering the Take Division in some capacity.
I can foresee a future storyline between the two of them where they're directly feuding and they're fighting, because they've already kind of built that.
That's a matter of time.
That's only a matter of time. So now that they have Silas shored up again for another contract, and, you know, Bully Ray needs something else to do, this is a good time to, like, build that feud between these two guys. Maybe this is where it starts.
The long-awaited Silas Young face turn?
I mean, it doesn't have to be a straight-up face turn for him and Bully to fight each other.
Yeah, I guess. But you could they could go all the way. They could have Silas turn face, reunite with the Bouncers. Aww. They're lovable guys now. They go after their kingdom, six-man titles.
Ooh, what if it's the Bouncers that stop Silas?
Oh, yeah, he tries to head down to the ring, and they cut him off, and they're like, nah. And they just stand there. They don't even have to attack him. They just stand there, and he can't get past them.
In any of the matches that the Bouncers had with people on, like, the global or the War of the Worlds tour or anything, did they ever share a beer with Flip?
See, that I can't recall. I don't think they ever shared a ring.
That's too bad, because that would be a really neat, like, I'd be
a little Easter
egg. I'd be very impressed with that booking if that happened.
All right. Well. So we're predicting a lot of shenanigans in this one.
Oh, my God. Come on. Shenanigans central. This match is going to be 95% shenanigans.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Maybe Sandman shows up. Right. Maybe some more ECW veterans.
Right.
You never know.
Right. The ghost of Jacob Marley comes and rattles his chains. Like, it is Christmas time after all. Bully Ray wakes up and says.
And he repents.
And he repents. And he buys a turkey for Flip Gordon.
There you go. You go and they head off on a plane tomorrow. All right. Match number three on my listing is Matt Taven versus Dalton Castle for the Real World title. Again, I'm assuming we get TK, Vinny, and the boys at ringside. Maybe not for the whole match, but at some point. Because it's for the Real World title, I have to go with Taven. I don't see him losing his fake belt in his first defense.
As much as I love imagining Dalton Castle, like, snatching that purple belt right off of Taven and unveiling it in some altered, bedazzled form later on, I'm going to agree with you here. I think it's going to be Taven. I think that they're building some other stuff around Taven in the coming year, and I think that, like, his win against Dalton Castle is going to be part of that.
Yeah, I do think this is the first time we see Castle without all the tape. He's, like, back to full 100% fighting strength when he unzips his jumpsuit at the end of his entrance. But then, you know, the TK and Vinny pulling their nonsense on the boys at ringside is enough of it creates the chaos and the distractions, and maybe Dalton gets clocked with the fake title belt and Taven hits the climax.
Yeah, I see it all like a fairly – honestly, for a Taven match, it won't be anything less than good. I think it'll be a good match between the two of them. I'm looking forward to it because I actually am not entirely sure of this prediction and can very easily see it go the other way. But I do like the idea of seeing Dalton Castle, like, get to unveil himself as back to full strength. I don't see this as being some kind of incredible match, but I do think it'll be good. It'll be fine.
Don't just listen to PW Torch's brand of wrestling coverage. Read it too every day at pwtorch.com. Join me Monday nights for my live coverage of Raw, Tuesday nights for my live coverage of SmackDown, Sunday nights for my live coverage of WWE pay-per-views, and keep up on the news and read exclusive editorials and special features every day at pwtorch.com.
All right, up next, it is the Villain Marty Scurll versus the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels. for a future world title opportunity. Not officially Daniel's career on the line, but the heavy implication is that if he doesn't win this one, he is done with Ring of Honor. The next day is, like, the next morning he'll wake up and he won't be under ROH contract.
Oh. I mean, I'm giving this one to Skrull because I do think that Daniels is getting a retirement storyline. And whereas I don't know that he'll be retired forever, and for one instance, I will talk about this a little bit more in a later prediction, but Madison Square Garden is kind of messing up a lot of things because Madison Square Garden is such a big deal for so many of these guys, for the promotion itself, that it almost seems like a shame for so many of these guys to walk away before that. So I wouldn't count Daniels out completely, but I do believe that he is going to be at least semi-retiring. So I'm giving this one a Skrull.
Yeah, I think it's a hard-fought match. Daniels gives it everything he has. But Marty wins. I don't know. I had the chicken wing in my notes. He's been using graduation a lot. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to go with chicken wing. It's something even more poetic and sad about Daniels being forced to tap out in his final match.
I don't see him tapping out, although he's been super generous and getting just everybody over in every way possible. So it does seem actually like that could be the case, but I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to say that it'll be a pinfall.
Okay. Then we have the Women of Honor Four Corner Survival Match. Sumi Sakai defends against Madison Rayne, Karen Q, and Kelly Klein. This one could go a lot of ways because the Women of Honor division is still a little in flux at the moment, with Deonna Purrazzo leaving for NXT, with Sunil Dashwood getting injured. Madison Rayne has only joined about a month ago. Brandi Rhodes was out injured for a period there. So it's still in flux. Sumi's the first and only champion since April. So feasibly any four of these women could walk out as champion, and you could buy that.
Sure.
However, we have to make our picks.
Yeah.
Part of me says Madison Rayne wins the title. She has the most name recognition among casual wrestling fans. She holds the belt until Tennille Dashwood returns from injury, at which point it's revealed that Madison was the one who attacked her, and Madison turns heel and they feud for the title.
Ooh. Is that your prediction?
That's what I feel is going to happen. What I want to happen, what I'm going to make my official prediction, I think, is Madison and Kelly take each other out at ringside, and Sumi pins Karen Q with Smash Mouth.
Ooh.
I think Sumi's done a great job as champion so far, and since she's the first champion, she's held it this long. When and if she loses the title, I want it to be in a one-on-one match.
Okay. All right. I am really on board with you there. And if Sumi is going to lose this title, I would prefer to be in a one-on-one and not in a four-way. I do not feel like they're going to go that way with this match, though. I'm predicting that Kelly Klein's going to take it. There's a lot of reasons that I won't go into, but one of the biggest things for me was just the fact that, like, I think Kelly Klein is the closest thing they have to the... I feel like Tennille Dashwood was... This was supposed to be the moment for Tennille. This was going to be when she got it. Then fate and injury and et cetera intervened. And I think that Kelly is the closest thing that they have to someone who is established in ROH and can be a credible holder of that Women of Honor title and be a credible person to take it away from Sumi. As credible as they have right now.
So does she pin Sumi in this match?
Yeah, I think she pins Sumi.
All right. We all agree to disagree.
I like your version better because I would rather see Sumi get it, like, if she's going to lose this title after this reign that she's had that's been so good. I'd rather see her lose it in a really good one-on-one match with somebody, but I do think that the intention was to get it off her by final battle, and that's where Kelly comes in. I would lean towards Madison, but it's just too early for her.
Okay. Up next, the television title, Jeff Cobb versus Adam Page. This has basically just been built around Page is jealous.
Yeah.
There's a new guy in town, and he's hunkier than him, and he's bigger than him, and he's stronger than him, and Paige is like, no, I'm strong.
I love the I've been loving the promo that they've been showing for this match, where it's just like, you think you're so strong, but wait till you're with someone as strong as you are, like me. Like.
Well, yeah, I noticed this week, I think it was the same one that they used in the video package, but he kept saying, like, what are you going to do when you get in the ring with somebody who's just as strong as you? What are you going to do when you face a real threat? And right away, I was just sitting in my apartment going, what are you going to do when Hangmania runs wild on you?
Hangman is so threatened by this like new like beefy stud on the block. But as he should be, Cobb is going to win this one.
Yep.
Yeah. Cobb's going to win it because, I mean, I have no idea what the Elite is doing, but I don't. And what clinched it for me was in New Japan World Tag League just last week, the team of Jeff Cobb and Michael Elgin took on Hangman Page and Yujiro. And in that match, Hangman Page was able to pin Jeff Cobb. And so I feel like that was like a preview. And I feel like that was Hangman's shot, but I think Cobb wins this match.
Yeah, my prediction is Cobb hits two of the islands, and Adam Page becomes the next sacrifice to the gods. I wish that they would do the full lights go out and Page just disappears and he's never seen an ROH again.
You know, I mean, they could totally run with that story. It would not be the most bizarre thing to pop up on being the Elite.
So we then head into Ladder War 7, SCU versus the Young Bucks versus the Briscoes for the tag team titles. You know, if all six of these men were confirmed to be in ROH next month, it would be an interesting prediction, I think. But when four of them are expected to be gone in like 2 weeks, it kind of narrows it down a bit.
So, like, really, what do you do? Like, do you go with the obvious and just go, like, okay, the Briscoes? Or do you, as I have done obsessively, look at the final battle fallout show card and meet and greet information and think to yourself, oh, hey, the Bucks are listed here for the meet and greets. Does that mean they're going to be at the TV taping? Does that mean that they're going to be on an episode of ROH TV following final battle? What could that possibly mean? And then you just like circle the drain over and over again. So I think my original prediction was really boring. I was just like, oh, the Briscoes are going to win this back. But I'm wondering if the Bucks win these titles and then something happens.
Then who do they lose them to?
The Briscoes.
At the TV tapings. At
the TV tapings.
Oh, see, I feel like if the Briscoes are going to leave December as champions, just have them win this match.
Yeah.
I like your scenario of them, the Bucks winning the titles and losing them at the TV tapings, only if they lose them to somebody else.
Yeah.
Somebody not in this match.
Right. That's kind of key here. I think that it really only works if it's like a you know, a brand new team or a brand new appearance. But there's just, yeah.
Well, that'd be one way to get some juice back into Silas and Boldy after quitting earlier in the night.
Oh. Most definitely, except that I don't think they're there as a tag team.
They already beat the Young Bucks on the Global Wars Tour.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
I don't know.
That's an interesting point. Okay, so that my prediction. I don't know. I can go with my boring prediction, but what is your prediction?
I just said the Briscoe.
Okay.
I didn't even have a reason why or how. I was just like, they win.
Yeah, like, they're the only ones we see for sure, right? There's no...
Well, so I looked at I pulled up my stats for the year, looking and sorted it by tag teams who have had the most matches this year. And to get, like, a real sense of, like, what is the tag division in ROH, looking at it on paper. And in terms of teams that are actually going to be around, confirmed in 2019, you got teams like The Kingdom, you got Silas and Bully... them feuding with the Briscoes doesn't make a lot of sense. You've got L.I.J. and Best Friends. They've kind of got their own issues going on
right now.
You've got the Dogs, the Boys, Shinobi Shadow Squad. They're not really on the Briscoes level.
No.
And then you've got, really, the Bouncers, Coast to Coast, and potentially the team of Gresham and Lethal.
Yeah.
That's kind of the take division.
Yeah.
Now, I love the idea. Last time Jay Lethal was world champion, he was also television champion. I love the idea of Jay Lethal holding two championships again in this reign. And I love the idea of Jonathan Gresham holding some sort of ROH gold. So Lethal and Gresham feuding with the Briscoes for the tag titles in January kind of strikes me in a lot of the right ways.
Yeah. What if it's the Bucks versus Lethal and Gresham at the final battle fallout show?
Ooh, Jay Lethal hands Cody a defeat in his last ROH match and then turns around and does it to the Bucks too.
Ooh. Yeah.
Kenny King would be like, you're stealing my gimmick. Yeah. I'm the Bullet Club silencer.
He's like, I'm the elite ender. But they can work on the name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Pritchard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcasts.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts.
So we got a lot of question marks over this.
Wouldn't it make sense, like, if the guys are out the door, like, getting Jay Lethal even, like, more over, getting Gresham more over, leaving all that stuff.
Yeah, you losing the Bucks, you got a big space to fill, and Lethal and Gresham could be that charismatic, super popular babyface team that the fans love to see.
Right? I think that the Bucks and Cody and, like, everybody who's heading out the door right now has a responsibility to, like, leave ROH in as good a shape as possible. Not because of anything more than just, like, professional duty. I mean, look at what Christopher Daniels is doing. So doing it that way would actually be really cool.
Okay, so we've workshopped this. We've thrown out all our original predictions. We're now saying the Young Bucks win Ladder War and lose the titles to Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham in Philadelphia.
Man. Yes, this was not the wild prediction theory that I had meant to unveil. So let's just say that we talked ourselves into this.
All right, and if it doesn't happen now, we're just going to be so bummed.
I know, we have such good ideas.
It's going to be instead the Briscoes win the Ladder War and lose the titles to the Dogs the next night.
That at least that would throw us for a loop, especially since we haven't seen Little Willie in, like, how long?
Yeah, whatever happened to that
guy? Don't know. We know that Red Titus is still walking around in his underwear.
Yeah, we haven't seen him in a while either, but he's
where's Red? Yeah, seriously, enough with Little Willie. Where's Red Titus?
No spoilers, but I'm guessing they're probably involved in the Christmas surprise next week.
Oh, I won't say.
It wouldn't be a Christmas surprise without Red Titus and a skimpy
skater. I will say nothing at all.
All right, our main event for Final Battle 2018 is the main event of Final Battle 2016. Or no, it wasn't the main event then. It was just a match. But now it's the main event. Jay Lethal versus Cody for the world title.
Okay. So.
So who does Cody drop the title to?
Here is not my, like, prediction. Let's just call it a scenario, okay? Cody wins this match. Cody gets the world title. Cody leaves, turns heel again. I mean, he's still kind of heelish, right? So it's not like it's not a total unforeseen thing. But he turns heel again. He leaves ROH. Leaves, like, quotation marks, with the title. And then it's basically like a chase where like guys have to like come after him to like challenge him for it. And he will eventually lose that title at Madison Square Garden.
Ooh, you think they go without a world champion for a couple of months?
I don't think they officially go without him. I don't think it's like...
Oh, Matt Taven steps up and becomes the world champion because he's got.
Doesn't that kind of like work really well, right? Like, obviously they don't honor Taven's title, but Taven like himself like justifies continuing to have that title because the ROH World Championship is nowhere to be seen. And occasionally there is a defense of it. It can happen any number of places, and it's just until Madison Square Garden.
So Cody, you're giving Cody the Brock Lesnar treatment.
Kind of, yeah. But, you know, obviously not Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, it could work. I mean, fans aren't going to boo Cody anymore.
They might.
Yeah.
They might. This is, as far as dick moves go, this is a dick move.
Yeah, I mean, they can certainly try.
Yeah, they can. And I actually think that they could get a fair amount of heat on Cody for that, because it's one thing to win through underhanded means, to be arrogant, to be cocky, etc. But like, this is not just like taking the championship, but like a metaphorical like spit on ROH.
Yeah, and Cody's the kind of guy who would commit to it hard on Twitter and social media and like mock the fact that I'm the champion and I don't even work for the company.
100%. So I was thinking about this prediction, and again, this could all just be like a flight of fantasy, and it could just be Jay Lethal winning the title after a really like grueling, awesome match, and that's totally reasonable, and I will not be all that surprised if that's what happens. But I will say there's a little bit of an element of like he doth protest too much in Cody's like bluster and Twitter posts and stuff about, oh, I will not be at Madison Square Garden and Final Battle will be my last ROH show. Well, I was complaining about this not more than like a week or two ago because I felt like it was making too many of the results of these matches preordained. Like, obviously they're preordained, it's pro wrestling, but making it like telegraphing it a little too much so that it was obvious who was going to be winning these matches. But that made me start thinking about why he would want to do that and why he would want to make it so obvious and apparent that these things were his last shows. So it started to feel a little bit more like a work than I felt like. Yeah, it started to feel like a work. It's all starting to feel more and more like a work. And I'm kind of mad at myself for not seeing it beforehand. And I could totally see him continuing to sell this as he walks away with the title.
All right, I can envision your scenario. It's up there with CM Punk winning the title on his last day under WWE contract, and he went home and threw it in his refrigerator, and then secretly like signed a new contract and nobody knew and stuff like that. Cody's supposedly been working on a handshake deal this long.
Right.
Right. His contract expired in October, and he's doing these events one by one. So what's another couple of months?
So another thing, and I pointed this out last week, and I want to come back to it. Jay Lethal's promo that was aired on television last week, he says something along the lines of like pointing out the ways in which Cody doesn't belong in ROH. And I feel like that type of thing tips the hand a little bit more so it's like, you know, Cody leaves ROH, doesn't belong in ROH. Cody is so much an antithesis to the ROH way of doing things that he would do something so dishonorable as walk away with the title.
Okay. And you got Cody's buddy with a number one contender shot owed to him. So that creates stories too, right? I guess, right? Marty's owed a title shot, but the champion's nowhere to be found, or...
Yeah, and that allows kind of a bridging between worlds if, say, the Elite do leave and, you know, start their own thing. I think we have to remember that Madison Square Garden changes so much of the game here, whereas... you know, whatever they have planned for the next steps might have been like taking shape in February or March or on WrestleMania weekend. I think now whatever it ends up being, if they do make All Elite Wrestling or whatever it is their next project is going to be, I think it takes place after April. It takes place after Madison Square Garden. And Madison Square Garden is where we get to see like the genesis, like the true like evolution of what is going to be happening in the next stage of these guys' career.
And even if January 1st they announce All Elite Wrestling, new promotion, we're all involved, we have weekly TV, it's not going to be launching until before April.
No.
That kind of stuff takes a while to put
together. Exactly. People have been kind of quick to like jump on a lot of things that have been released recently, but just because you file, you know, patents or copyrights or whatever on certain entities doesn't mean that they just like come together right away. These deals are long in gestation, and they are also coming from guys who are pretty smart about when they unveil stuff. So I would not see it before April.
All right. So that's your official
pick. Yeah, I'm just going on a limb here. Cody's going to win it.
Okay. I say JV with a lethal injection. Just to play it safe.
I mean, totally reasonable, right? Like, we could just get like a really corker of a match. It'll be interesting to watch. It'll be good. It'll be epic. And then it'll be over and Jay Lethal will remain champion. And there's a lot of reason why that's totally fine. Jay Lethal has had a good title run this time as he's been a stalwart of the ROH brand. He's done so much for the company for so long. He's done so much for the company just this year. Yeah, I makes total sense to me that Cody would give Jay an amazing match and Cody will leave with Jay being more over than ever. But I'm just going to make my prediction and see what happens.
All right. If at any point in the match I believe that Cody is actually going to win it, like on this pinfall or whatever, then I'll consider it a great match. Like if they can make me buy into that possibility, because I feel pretty convinced otherwise, despite your storytelling.
Yeah. I mean, when I was passing this by my husband, he was very indignant at first saying, oh no, that's not how they do it at Ring of Honor. And they would never do Jay Lethal in that way and et cetera. But after explaining my thought process on this, I won him over. So I'm just saying, I think I'm onto something here. I don't know that I'm right, but I do think that it's not impossible that this could be a much bigger work than we are imagining.
Okay. Well, next week on this podcast, we'll be giving all our thoughts on Final Battle with it all said and done behind us. We'll also be talking about next week's TV, which is headlined by the annual Christmas Surprise 10-man tag match. Last year was pretty fun. It was headlined, I want to say it was Team Cody versus Team Dalton. They had wrapped Christmas presents given to them with names inside. They opened it and found out who the partners were for the night. So we'll see how that unfolds next week. And keep an eye out for Brian Malonis throwing some antlers.
Yes, I'm sorry I spoiled that one surprise, but yes, I am still sitting on those antlers. I am still trying to figure out what I should be doing with them.
Yes, the human strip mall will be in the match, but who will we team with?
Yes.
Who knows? I don't know. Lots of people know, but not me.
Nope. You will not know. I promise. I will not spoil anything else. I'm so sorry I spoiled Brian Malonis for you.
And that's it for this week.
Yep.
Next week, Final Battle, Christmas Surprise, 10-man tag. Oh, and as we tick closer to the end of the year, it's time for reflection. It's a season for remembrance. And in that vein, next week, we will open voting on the first ever Talking Honor Awards.
Woo!
Affectionately called the Honoraries. It will be our awards category, our awards season, our awards show honoring ROH in 2018.
That's right. We're going to celebrate the best of the best, the possibly the worst of the worst. I don't know. We haven't exactly figured out the categories yet.
No. If you have ideas, talkinghonor@gmail.com. Next week, we will have all the categories fully announced and voting will open. The way this is going to work is you'll have 1 week to vote. So from next week's show, which is the 18th, through to Christmas Day, the 25th, you can vote. We'll provide a link to an online account. Don't even have to sign up. Just log on, cast your votes. And the following week, 2 weeks' time on this podcast, we will reveal the winners in each category. Both my pick for the winner of that category, Emily's pick for that category, and then you, the listener, the fan vote as well. So, you know, we might do a category for Wrestler of the Year or Tag Team of the Year. We might do, I don't know, favorite bear of the
year. I mean,
there's so many options.
Well, you have Bernard, you have Barry, and you have, I mean, does Silas count as a bear?
Yeah, I was going to say, who's the hairiest?
Who's the bariest of the male wrestlers?
I don't know. See, like we said, we're still working
on
this.
Yeah, send us your requests as far as categories. Maybe you have one in mind.
Yes, and then next week on the show, we'll announce all the categories, how you can vote, and get the excitement going as we lead into award season.
Yep, so put on your finest wrestling outfit and join us for the honoraries for our last our first episode of the new year,
our last episode of the year.
Yeah, we can't flash forward an entire year. Send us your picks for 2019.
Yes. Send us your picks for favorite match from 2019. I think it was Tracy Williams versus Luchasaurus for the ROH World Title at Survivor of the
Fittest. Bigfoot versus Bully Ray in a tables match.
Yep, Devon versus Flap Gordon in a You Quit match.
The return of Stone Cold Steve Austin. Not like wrestling, just like hanging out.
Yeah, he's back. Just back.
Yeah, just to give advice.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free additions to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer, and there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.